This is RSBNB Update, episode 450, recorded Friday, January 31st, 2014. Breaking Future. Hello, everybody, and thank you for sitting in with us on this episode of RSBNB Update. We almost had a distinguished guest join us on the show, but he decided not to at the last moment. But nonetheless, regardless, we have Davo338.
How's it going?
And Earth from The Informers.
That's me.
Yes.
To some music that is currently being played in my dorm.
We can't hear it.
Yeah, strangely.
Which is probably best, yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. So, thank you guys for both being here this week. We got a very interesting update to talk about. Definitely the most polarizing update so far of 2014. And of course, we're talking about the giant mole, right?
Giant mole.
Yeah, guys. Definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been waiting for that one.
I'm just... Navagadro is just...
You're just tickling on the inside?
What?
Well, your nickname you have, Reed Tickles the Insides.
No, that is not my nickname. Nobody has ever called me that.
Oh, I have. Anyways.
Nobody has ever called me that.
I swear I did.
That's all that matters.
All right.
Oh,
so,
Shane, you just don't get it.
No, so. Unfortunately not. But Legacy Combat. Something that I didn't think was coming. And, well...
Wait, are we actually doing this one first?
Yeah, we're going to do this first because it's the biggest thing this week.
Yeah.
I had a thought when they announced what was going to be happening in 2014 with the polls. With this kind of polling system and people's just desires to create trouble on the forums and whatnot, I knew this was somehow, some way, going to come up as a polling option. So.
Yeah, whenever they announced the whole poll thing, obviously I was pretty excited, but I'm going to be honest, I figured it wouldn't be as utilized as it actually is. You know, they had, like, the invention in Elf City, and then they had the two smaller ones. And I honestly thought that it was just going to, like, sort of sit empty for a while, you know, after those ran out. But, like, I mean, there's already been, like, two more batches of polls come out, and they're really cranking them through, which, you know, I like. But I didn't expect them to bring this back. I mean, they had the combat beta and they sort of had tweaks. I was like, okay, yeah, that's cool. But I definitely didn't expect them to straight up go like pre-EOC.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not complaining at all, but I guess I didn't see that coming. So I was a pleasant surprise, yeah.
So for anybody who hasn't read the post yet, what they're proposing on doing is creating a mode called Legacy Mode, which would in effect bring back the old combat system inside the current RuneScape game. So you toggle a switch, the adrenaline bar would disappear, the ability bar would disappear. You would no longer need to press enter to chat. You just type, and then you just sit there and wail on a monster until it dies.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, I like that part.
The chat part?
The not having to press enter to chat. And they keep changing it. So sometimes you have to press enter again after you send a message, and sometimes you don't. And I swear it changes from week to week, and it's really irritating.
Yeah, and I mean, it's this sort of thing that really never went away with this combat system. Right now, the ETA on this poll is summer, and they stay... that this is not going to affect any of the other updates, namely the Elf City, in that that's got a dedicated team, and they forecast that the Legacy Mode should only need a development team of between 2 and 3 people.
Yeah, I mean, really all it is like code tweaks and just toggling on and off type of thing, you know, and just like some rebalance of damage or accuracy or stuff like that. See, I don't know if they're going to have to recalculate all like weapon and armor stats because, you know, they sort of rechange that
now,
around.
That's the interesting thing right there that you mentioned, because, I mean, if you look at what we had before compared to what we have now, I think we can all agree that the combat triangle is actually a triangle now.
Right.
Whereas before it was not.
Yeah, I mean, back, oh gosh, I don't know when it was. It was probably back, like, last May. I was sort of, I guess, bored or irritated with the combat update. Mostly to the fact that, like, the stats of weapons and armor, like, they really still didn't mean anything to me. Like, they meant more than, like, the bonuses. But I actually was poking around and stuff and doing lots of tests, and I actually came up with, like, combat formulas because at the time, like, nobody had it. So I came up with it, and then literally, like, 1 or 2 weeks later, they did, like, the overhaul and completely threw all that out the window. So I was like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Hey, what's that sound like, Shay?
Yeah, I know. That happened to us.
Yeah.
I remember
with Content Crew, with Mike, we were doing the mapping thing. That was back in like 2008. And we were doing the mapping thing, and they came out like, we like basically just finished everything. I remember going to like RuneCraft.
And you know what the clincher is on this, Dave? You can turn the icons off now.
Oh my gosh. No, they like, we seriously like got all that done. You know, I was like piecing like the underground pass together, and like, oh my gosh, I was like not playing the game so I could like put all this stuff together, and you know, I'd send all this stuff to Mike and he'd put it in this like big program that he coded himself, and then like a year later they're like, oh, it's the new improved map interface. I'm just like, face desk, are you freaking kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
my
I mean,
gosh,
that's
so irritated.
That's being JAGEXed in,
but it is what it is.
That happened
with
combat,
that they did it.
And
so
the important thing to note going forward with legacy mode is that we don't know exactly what it's going to look like at this time. This is going to be designed by the players through the use of polls on the beta server. Now,
I'm interested.
It's not going to turn out well. I can tell you that much right now for three reasons. First reason is that people who want this update are not actually going to be playing the beta. One. Two.
Right.
Design by committee never works with software. Never. It never will. And three, the biggest issue of this, if they manage to design a legacy mode based on a committee of the players, the biggest issue will be integrating it into the actual current game and ensuring that that can be done without being too confusing. Because if you put this in the game and it's not done in a user-friendly manner, you're going to drive people away. It's as simple as that.
Unless it's transparent. Like I was saying, you know, if they're going to put it in, they basically almost have to, like, bring EOC down. Because it's got to be, like, basically momentum has to be legacy mode. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's probably what they're going to do. I mean, don't quote me, obviously. But I feel like it's going to be that sort of thing. Like, you're going to hit momentum and just all the EOC stuff is going
to
go away. But they really do
what it has to
have
be.
To make it they have to make it as transparent as possible, because, like you said, it's just going to be a mess and it's going to be two separate games within each other. And, you know, this has a potential to be the saving grace of the game and
it
the
won't.
Split between 07 and RS3, or it has the potential to even fragment it even more.
Yeah, that's what
and
it's going to do.
You're sort of walking on hot coals, and you mentioned about nobody being in the beta. I mean, I think we all know how that turned out with EOC. Nobody
played
it.
There were 300
people
online last weekend in the beta servers. 300 people.
And, you know, if any one official is listening to this, you know, it's they sort of had the right idea with the EOC having like the combat beta outfits and stuff. But you really, if you want feedback, you have to give people something. You know, all this. If you want feedback, you have to give them incentive to log in and log hours. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything. As bad as that is, that's just the way people are. I mean, that's the way I was. I'll be honest.
In any form of testing. whether it be for beta testing, usability testing, whatever it may be. There's that. But there's a big problem also with releasing this to the wider community all at once, because if you just allow anybody in, you're going to be getting feedback from people who are not using this system. And with that being said, you're creating too much noise in the background for the developers to focus on. Developers want feedback that is tailored, focused, and pinpoint accurate. And I mean, that's the biggest problem.
Oh, I hate this. Because you're going to get all the people that are on there just like trolling and flaming and just whining, you know, all caps and no punctuation type stuff. And, you know, they don't want that. Sure, they read it, but it just dilutes them what they actually need to get done. You
Hang
know?
On. Say that again, Earth.
Oh, God, it's different.
Boo. Yes.
Boo.
Whoops.
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 Did you, yeah, you said
did
a bad
you
word.
Forget to hit record?
No, you said a bad word.
I did not utter the phrase a bad word.
You are making more false. Work for Shane.
So
would I ever do that, Shane?
Yes, you would. And this all tailors back to the problem with the EOC beta, in that everybody was in it. There were no NDAs. It wasn't a secure beta. You didn't get banned if you talked about it, which you should have, because that's the way beta should be carried out. It should be done in private at the very beginning. And from that, having it public, Jagex just did simply not explain the evolution of combat properly. From that, the community was scared. The mob mentality came out, same as you have with the Occupy movement and everything like that. That all went unchecked. And that just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed.
With the what movement?
Like Occupy Wall Street.
Oh.
Yeah, I just equated the EOC haters to Occupy.
Might as well. It's about the same. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're in the minority. We'll move on.
Anyways, so from that, it just was never dealt with. It was a FUD campaign through the player base, which was never dealt with, was never kept unchecked. And then from this, Jagex just lost all these people, and now they're trying to get them back. And the thing is, I don't know if they're going to come back. These people are probably gone.
I guess they sort of salvaged, I would say, maybe about 40% with 07, which I feel like that's what 07 was for. They realized they flubbed up on EOC, so that was sort of their last resort panic attack to sort of like scoop up the rest of the fleeting people. And now I think they're trying to like bring everybody back, which we'll see. You know,
yeah,
it is what it is, but
I don't know if it's going to happen. But there was one thing in the dev blog linked at the end of this news posting. 44 to 41% of people favor Evolution of Combat compared to those that don't. So with that being said, there's
a
3%
so
difference.
40% of people like it?
44% like it, 41% don't.
Okay.
And the rest are undecided.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I used to be like really against it, and you know, I don't have a problem with it. I think a lot of that is just like getting used to it, like with anything else.
Yeah.
You know,
it's different.
But I mean, I don't have this raging hate for it, but if Legacy Mode does come out, or, you know, if they do it and they do it well, that'll obviously be, you know, what I play. And, you know, in all honesty, I think a lot of it is going to be the demographic and veteran status. You know, most people that, you know, started playing like before 2008-ish are probably going to stick with Legacy, as to where the, I guess, newer players, if you will probably just stick to EOC, since that's sort of what they have tailored their strategies to.
I'm
I don't know.
EOC
and
with
that's
both
just,
feet.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's obviously going to be you're going to be exceptions, but like I said, we'll see. It really honestly depends for me how well they do it and how transparent it really is. Because if it's like completely different, no, I'll just stick with EOC because I don't have a problem with it. But
and here's
we'll
the real kicker, you guys. And there was also in the FAQ posted on the forums, there was a question about bosses, and the answer was there are certain new combat encounters which are designed around evolution of combat. They are difficult or impossible to complete without abilities. This would also be the case for Legacy. Now, I ask everybody out there who supports Legacy Combat, because they want it back. Did you read this? Did you read this?
Right. Right.
Because if
and
you
know
did not,
it might be a thing to where... Yeah, go ahead.
If you did not, you're going to be sorely disappointed when you get in Legacy Combat and you can't kill the Caliphate King or Virago.
Right. And, you know, it may be a
I
thing
really
to where...
I really don't think that it's just... people complaining about that. I think they just don't like having to click when they're just doing a Slayer task or something.
Yeah.
But,
and
if you're bossing, then you're going to be paying attention anyway.
Right. And the thing is, you know, it may come down to, hey, I'm doing Slayer, I'm doing whatever, Legacy, but, you know, if you're going to go fight Virago, I think it's kind of smart, obviously, with the mechanics and just with gameplay, to play on EOC and sort of get the extra kick out of it, you know,
yeah.
As to where it's really not really efficient to sit there on, you know, a Blood Veil task or a Greater Demons task and have to, like, you know, even if you do have momentum, you should just be able to kill him like you used to in AFK or what have you, you know. But if you're going to go for, like, a big boss or, you know, like a Borrow's Run or whatever you want to do, you know, switch over to EOC real quick and do it. And I like the way they're doing it, you know, making it same server, same game, just a button. So you don't have, like, separate servers and do that. So I really think they're trying to unfragment the community with, you know, 07. But we'll see where they take it.
Yeah, and... I mean, this is sound fiscal policy. I mean, if you can get these people back, you make more money. And I don't think anybody's going to frown at somebody trying to make more money. That's what corporations are supposed to do. And if they can get these people back...
They frowned a lot at Squeal of Fortune, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. That was different. I think if we could get these people back... Well, Squeal of Fortune was considered real-world trading by some.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so can Bonds, but I think Bonds really turned the game around in
all
honesty.
It did.
So I'm not going to argue with that.
You get these people back, we all play on the same server. That's a nice thing, but I need to ask if that's even necessary, because I've noticed a couple of things over the past year or 18 months that have changed since EOC was announced. First things first, we'll preface this by saying that in the odd hours of the day, Jagex has 30,000 people on their game. 30,000 people on a game at any time of day, that's nothing to be squeamish about. That's a great number. That's a healthy game right there. Mm-hmm. So let's keep that in mind. And let's also think that these people might just be gone for good. I need to ask, do we really need these people back? Because it's my opinion that ever since these people left, once EOC was announced in the summer of 2012, that the game has gotten nicer, it's gotten kinder, and it's just become a lot more mature. So I'm wondering,
it's like,
if
why try to please somebody that's not interested?
Exactly.
I mean
it's almost like
since EOC came out, I mean, there's been less people online, but I've found it nice, because instead of seeing, oh, that person probably just a bot, it's, hey, there's another person here.
Right.
And I've met one or two rude people just on a Slayer task or something like that.
I mean, the prime example that I said tail end of 2012 is when we were talking about server populations is I actually had an intelligent conversation once with someone while training divination.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, whenever I go to a Slayer task, I've been able to do co-op Slayer, just like, hey, we're on the same task, want to do that? And they're like, sure, and we had a nice conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, now I'm going to ask you guys, did you vote? I assume you guys both voted no to bringing this in.
I voted yes.
I voted yes.
Oh, really? So that's who's been voting for it. We were trying to figure out earlier in the day as to exactly... why the yes side is winning with 75%.
Yeah.
It went down to like 74, Shane. Let me look at it right now.
I know. I mean, it was at 33%.
It's 74 to
67 when it came in. So, I was trying to figure out who was voting yes for this, but okay, if you guys are, I'll tell you why I didn't vote yes. I mean, it looks like it's going to pass, but I just don't know that the player base is the one to be making the decision on this, that they're handling this right. this is what I said when the polls came out. We need to be very careful with what's going on, because design-wise, it's two different games. It's two different eras. You're trying to mesh them both together. And quite honestly, this breaks the future. I have said many, many times that we live in the best time to be playing RuneScape currently, and one of those big reasons why is the combat system. So
it's moving forward, you know, and they're just
broke the future.
And with some huge wedge that's whether or not you're going to be in a legacy mode or not, and I mean, it's just adding a whole other step of confusion to the gameplay, which I don't think is an elegant thing to have. I mean, I'm going to pull this quote out again, but this is not something that Apple would do in a product.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it for a while with the transition from OS 9 to OS 10, but then that went away completely.
I mean, like you were saying with the whole 07 thing, you know, it's dangerous with just the community saying we want this for them to go back on all their words. I mean, I can think of, you know, not trying to bash them, I'm just trying to make a point, but I can probably think of three or four times where they have already gone back on their word like tenfold. I mean, they went back to say there will be no more tradable holiday event things. Well, we just saw the Black Santa hat. When they removed the wilderness and free trade, we will never bring back either of those. That happened. There will never be more bonus experience. We had that spooky Halloween back in 2012, right after they announced that, and now we're about to have one in February. That's four right there. But, I mean, it's just sort of like – and they, you know, they said they would never bring back – once they went to EOC, we'll never bring back anything past that. Well, 07 is happening, and now they're probably going to bring back Legacy, so – six, however you want to count it. But
let's just say if Jagex was a publicly traded company, I would not buy stock in that company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here is the only way I would be okay with this thing coming into the game. And here's what it is. I would be okay with this coming into the game for accounts created prior to November 20th, 2012. That is the day that the Evolution of Combat was released. If you
they
have an account,
made it so that only people whose accounts were made in before 2013 could vote in it.
Only if you're free to play. If you're
is that
a member,
what you're
you can
saying?
Vote in it no matter what.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying you need to have an account.
I like that idea.
That's made before November 2012 in order to use Legacy mode. Because that way then,
that
once your old
fair.
Players die off, I mean, not die off, we don't want the players to die.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Finish playing or retire, what have you.
Yes, yes. Once they go away, Legacy system will become used less and less over time.
Right.
That's the only way you can move forward and not break the future. All right. Well, there's Legacy Combat Mode for you. Anybody else have anything on this?
Nope.
All righty then. So other polls that came out this week are a question about Zerosian ultimate abilities, what they should be exactly. I voted for the damage-dealing ones. I quite honestly, you know, don't see Zerosian abilities as being healing based. That was Guthix.
Yeah.
You know what this means, Earth, right?
Yeah.
Say what?
You know what this means?
No.
The next quest is going to feature Zaros, and you're going to get these as a reward.
Ah, look
or
at
the
you.
Next world event.
No, that's Brassica and.
Oh, that's right.
Marumbo.
Goddamn cabbages.
Hey, Shane, you just said a bad word. Why do you make yourself edit more?
All right. And the other poll is regarding Game Blast Weekend, Game Blast 2014, double drops or double XP? I voted for double XP.
Double XP, definitely. I think that's going to win by a landslide.
And it's also worth noting
prices
that,
are already going up.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, one day, that's all it takes. It's also worth noting this week that because it's for charity on this weekend, they are going to be opening up the Well of Goodwill again, where you can dump stuff in, and then this will, of course, go to charity as well. So nice to see that coming back into the game
dump
so quickly.
Stuff in.
What was that?
You can dump stuff in.
Yeah. I'm not dumping my Black Santa hat in, if that's what you're getting at.
It's off.
Alrighty. So that's the polls that we got going on. Moving on to what everybody came here to listen to, right? The giant mole update.
Yes.
So either of you guys go check out this little critter.
Yes, actually like an hour before we started recording, went there. I'm going to have to make a confession. First time I've ever done the mole. Never did it beforehand. Obviously
really?
Not a boss guy. Yeah, never done it before. Went in easy mode. Wasn't too bad. Killed it. And then I went into hard mode and basically got to the last phase and room. And yeah, the little mole minions are definitely basically the only thing you really have to worry about, because they will gang up on you. About 10 of those hitting constant 400s. That'll catch up with you. And ran out of food, ran out of prayer, so I clicked my teleport tab. And I don't know if it was, like, small lag or whatever, but I got to the Grand Exchange and fell dead in the Grand Exchange, so that was fun. But, yeah. So, and, you know, I'm max combat, too. I mean, I'm 2450 total level and max combat, and I, granted, I'm not a boss or combat guy, for that matter, but, yeah, it was kind of tough for hard mode, so.
Yeah, I'm going to just go through a brief rundown of this thing first. There's a set of special attacks it can do. The one you mentioned, Dave, a whole bunch of little mole minions appear and you need to get rid of them because those increase the defense of the giant mole. So the best way to handle those, I found, is to use some sort of AoE attacks, or hurricane if you're using a two-hander, for example. That'll deal with them really, really quickly. So you can do that. Other attacks that it does, it's also got the one where pieces of mud or rocks will fall down and then they'll hurt you, so you need to run away from the mole in that. Then there's also another attack where mud will come and you'll get stuck and you need to use freedom in order to escape from that one. So this is the kind of boss mechanics that we see in all of the new creatures that do come out. And, you know, they did accomplish what they were wanting to with this, and that is create an entry-level boss experience for people who have never killed an NPC before. So, with that being said, I must ask you, Dave, what did you think?
I mean, you know, I've done some bosses. I'm not here to say. I mean, I went through a phase for about a month where I was soloing the Sarah God Wars boss before the whole instance thing and hard mode with that. You know, it is what it is. I like the mechanics, as with any sort of MMO. Boss battle technique, you know, there's with World of Warcraft, you know, the golden rule, don't stand on stuff in the ground, and you know, when the boss stops moving, you should probably start moving too, and stuff like that. So yeah, it's not bad. Is it going to encourage me to go boss more? Of course not, but I mean, for some people it might. It's good entry level. Like I said, easy mode is enough to challenge a mid-level player if that's what you're into. So I think they did a really good job with this update, as well as having the hard mode for people that are, you know, going like solo necks or, you know, whatever you do. Nice little challenge. Definitely not a moneymaker, but I like the rewards. So
yeah. There's one attack I neglected to mention. Enraged, you need to stun the mole to prevent it from doing higher end damage to you. So I'm actually going to go on the record here and say that this is more annoying than the Queen Black Dragon to fight.
Yeah.
Mainly because it burrows and moves to rooms, and you got to spend time finding the little thing. And once you do that, let's say you've just built up enough adrenaline for a threshold, you're going to lose that threshold right away, and you can't deliver the high hits that you want. So that's what I found most annoying about this, is the running around part.
for me, both times I did it, it was a clear-cut counterclockwise motion. So I don't know how it was for anyone else or if it's sort of programmed to do that most of the times or whatever.
Interesting. Interesting. How about you, Earth? Is this going to make you want to go fight things?
No.
Okay.
Not particularly.
Yeah, I mean...
So what about the drops? Tell me that.
Ah, yes. The drops. Well, it always drops mole parts. So the mole skin, the mole claws, and the mole nose, that sorts of thing. You can do those and then, I mean, pick them up and then take them to the Falador Gardener. And he'll reward you with seeds and nests. So good way to get farming seeds. I didn't get anything spectacular from it, like orange seeds, acorn, nothing like a magic seed or anything like that. I'd assume that's super rare. But There's one reward of hard mode that everyone who farms really should be interested in, and that's the growth potion. The exact name is Ultra Growth Potion, and what you do when you drink this, it skips two phases of your tree growth. So imagine we have another farming skill of the month at some point. You get these potions. You can effectively do two more tree farming runs in a day than you normally would.
Do they work on spirit trees?
I don't know.
Because as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, well, I can do... I mean, basically, obviously, you can do more, but I usually do a fruit tree run a day. But I was thinking,
no,
hey,
it does
I can
not
plant
work
spirit
on spirit
seed.
Trees.
Oh,
and this
bummer.
Is what you said, a numbing root?
No, the ultra growth potion.
Ultra growth potion.
Yeah, the numbing root is something that you eat, and it's like when you eat a root or something. It's like a old form of medicine.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Where it prevents damage over time.
It doesn't work on
effects.
Spirit trees.
No.
It does not.
It's like in that one Star Trek episode when they fell down the big shaft. They had to eat a root to use it as a cauterizing agent.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to go through an episode with... a show without an episode reference. Not... possible. We need to start putting the references in the show notes just so we can remember the day in history.
I did one.
I'm all for that.
I did one 2 weeks ago at 30 seconds in.
Oh,
what's
the record?
I just yelled, it was me. I yelled Star Wars right as Shane said, hello, everyone.
I was going to say, I think I remember that on a clip show. I think Mike was on one of them. And you're like, this is our, you know, you're doing
yes,
the intro.
Yes,
and you're like,
was,
that reminds me of a Star Trek episode.
Wasn't.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. Oh well. Oh well. Okay. We got over that one.
Okay.
Moving
so,
forward.
Let's just say if you're interested in farming, this is something you should look into, especially if you're wanting to actually win Farming Skill of the Month.
Yeah, Shane's. Shane's cowering
or
it
should
out
say,
of the
should
next
say
one.
When. Just say if you want to like keep up with Shane and not be embarrassed. This is what you need to do.
I won that skill of the month. It's mine.
I got about a good amount of bonus XP saved for the next farming skill of the month when that comes around.
Of course you do. How much?
I can't divulge that info, but I will say that my war chest towards farming is significantly diminished.
Your war chest?
Yes. It's significantly diminished recently.
Why?
It's only at about 30 million right now. It's going to go down to zero in a couple of days.
Why?
I'm going to purchase an offhand Drygor.
Ooh, do you have a main hand?
Yes.
Which one?
Mace.
Good choice. It's about the only choice, really.
I still use barrows.
That's okay.
Yeah,
so do
I. Whip. I don't even have chaotix yet. I have a long sword, but it's not really good anymore.
All right, so that's the giant mole update in a nutshell. You can also get a little cosmetic thing that the dragon mole drops, and that's the clingy mole. Basically, what you can do with these is you can attach
The what mole drops? Dragon?
No, I said the giant maul, drops the clingy maul.
Okay.
And you can attach it to the
dragon.
Anti-dragon shield. So you got a anti-dragon shield with a maul on it. Looks nice.
Yeah,
and
I think it looks... It looks absolutely ridiculous to me. I think it looks so stupid, but
does it do anything?
It's a game.
Yeah.
It also
gives
you 150 charges on there, which can use to block damage from the giant maul. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Alrighty. Tweaks and fixes for the week. What do we got? I know you guys mentioned some.
Yeah, I've read through them. A lot of them are just obviously little sort of insignificant ones, but I did comb through it, and I found two that were fairly, I guess, noticeable and convenient. First one, Beast of Burden's primary options are now store instead of interact. So if you know you're doing Frost Dragons or something, you can just click on it as you normally would, and it'll go straight to it, which is kind of nice. I mean, we're all lazy, right? We don't like clicking, so that's nice to have a right click and go through.
The bank thing still messes me up.
Yeah, and then Monkfish spots primary option are net instead of harpoon, so that's also nice. You can just click. It's just little click savers, which are always nice. But those are the two main ones that really stuck out. There are a couple others, but. I felt like they weren't that significant, but
yeah, I didn't notice anything else. But also some changes to Falador Shield 4, mainly that it reduces damage taken by the giant maul, so you can use that if you've completed the elite set, and it also gives you 5% XP, 5% bonus XP and respect in the Artisan's Workshop. How do you feel about that one there?
I'm not irritated since I did a bunch of it.
I don't know if my opinion's valid since smithing was my first skill back in 2009 and I did Addy Plates before the Artisan's Workshop. I don't know. I guess the Artisan's Workshop obviously is the best way to train smithing, but I guess they're just sort of, I guess it's nice to see that they're sort of still, catering to it just so it's not another piece of dead content because we all know how much we love those.
Oh, it's not dead.
Yeah.
It's just really expensive.
Right. Which is good to have, you know. A bonus to sort of cut down costs a little bit, but anyway.
All right. We also got the Tier 5 auras. Well, some of them. Call of the Sea, Lumberjack, Five Finger Discount, Quarry Master, and Tracker, and Green Fingers.
Fingers?
Yes.
Green Fingers and Tracker. The couple that caught my eye were the, I guess it was Tier 3, or the highest tier, I guess, of Jack of Trades.
Kind
of cool. Which you need. Oh, the second tier, 15 skills for 1.5 experience, times experience of what the normal one would give. And then the tier 3 one is 20 skills for 2 times the experiences the first one gives. And I think the second tier is in 2 hours you have to get those skills, and then the third tier is in 3 hours. But that looks cool. And then the whole brand new one, which was the Aura of Enlightenment, I guess it was, or
enrichment.
Something. Enrichment, that's it. I think
for
up
divination.
To, what is it, 15% chance of getting enriched memories with divination. So that's pretty cool. I might actually grab that when I'm going for 99 in that. So it's nice to see that they're including that skill as well, because it is a gathering skill, so might as well.
I'm interested in the Jack of Trades Tier 3 primarily because I worked it out. That's about 18k free summoning experience a day for me.
There you go. I'd probably put it towards crafting just because it's the most expensive right now. Or one of. So.
Alright. Earth, you purchasing any?
Maybe. I'm stockpiling my loyalty points, and I don't know why I'm stockpiling them.
I have like 680,000, I believe.
What?
450.
Yeah.
Have you spent any, or are you Premier?
Yes. No, I'm not Premier. I've never spent any stuff like that. What is it? I bought 2 or 3 of the ones that make change your eye color, which is, they're like 18k each. I have the Jack of Trades,
I have reverence.
And I got Yeah, I don't have any of the like vampirism or anything like that. I don't have any of those or penance, but I did just recently purchase the old school dragon override, dragon armor, because I really like that look. So it was only 60K, so I've probably only spent about 150K since the loyalty program came out. So that explains why I'm almost 750,000. But
yeah,
making bank, as it were. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I got to do. Need 8 million more than I can get my second drug or.
Oh, poor you.
Hey, this is something. This is a very important thing. I've never had top tier weapons before.
Shane, I've never had over 30 mil cash, so quit whining.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, Shane.
Okay. That's pretty much it.
I'm not taking none of your crap.
That's pretty much it for tweaks and fixes this week. Moving on to the next thing, another farming update. Yeah! Squeal, fortune, bags of seeds. I didn't get any today.
I didn't either. No, I always get small bags of cash, and that's almost like at least one a day. So, yeah. Did not get any of those.
If anybody manages to get these, tell me what kind of seeds you got. I know the best kind of seeds nowadays that you could hope for would either be magic seeds for trees or dwarf weed for herbs. Because if you manage to get 100 dwarf weed herbs, you can make easily a million in profit. So, oops, I did not mute that sound.
What about torstals?
Torstals, I'm not really a fan of at this point. Those really went down. For some reason, all the rage is with dwarf weed. Like the the torstal seeds, rather, or herbs, I mean, are only 7K each, which, I mean...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fine, but once upon a time, they used to be 55,000.
Yeah. Would you say a palm seed would be a steal on the bag for fruit trees?
Yep. Yeah. Any kind of high-level seed is always good.
Yeah.
I really miss doing daily farming runs like that, but they're just so expensive.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Poor you. I shed so many tears for you, Shane.
Well, if there's a farming skill the month... Next month, I won't be signing up.
So that needs to be when it is. Because he's going to have his drug war.
I'll talk to Mike.
Talk to Fred.
Yeah, you could do that, couldn't you? Yeah, that might
talk
work.
To Fred Bob.
You won't let me.
Exactly, because it would be...
Multiple
it would,
time.
It would be crossing a line that can't be crossed. Alrighty, and the last thing of the week, Premier Club sign up, that is ending this Sunday. So if you guys have not signed up for that, you have until then to do it. I am not signing up this year. Only reason I would see to sign up would be for the extra squeal spin. But
for the bag of seeds, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it for RS updates this week. We're going to move right on to questions right now. We have two audio questions, the first one being from RRMan100. Haven't heard from him in a long time.
Da, 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 da.
Hello, Shane and Tricky. It's been a long time since me, RRMan, has asked a question, but I really thought it was time for me to come back. First off, a bit of a question you probably can't truly answer, but why do you think people want to get 200 mil experience? There's so much more shit you could do! And now more of a answerable question. I've just started doing ports, and I was wondering, are you able to get the plate from any of the level 90 requirements? For example, can I get plate from the cook or from the herbologist? I have no idea really what I'm doing. I'm just sending ships out there and hoping they come back successful. But I want to know if I can get the plate without having to have all of the 90s or certain 90s. Well, that's all from me. Happy RuneScaping. Peace out.
You know, I used to send my ships out like that. Then Earth yelled at me. Remember that?
For what?
I used to just click and send ships out.
When you told Meg all of the worst options so she would die?
Yep.
You're shooting yourself in the foot.
All right. So 200 million, what's the point? I would say that comes down to when you really, really enjoy a skill. Really, really enjoy a skill.
Yeah. I would say really enjoy a skill. I think a lot of people do it to lock in their rank on the high scores, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
You have the skills that are sort of basically just like XP cows. You got like fletching, cooking, fire making, range, thieving are the five that really come to mind at first. But I think that's when you do those, you're obviously really not going for rank, since there's probably over 1,000 of each that have 200 mil. That's mostly just to boost up your experience, which you could ask again, what's the point of that? But that's just the nature of a grinding game. But you know, 200 mil is obviously understandable if you've already maxed, nothing else to do, got completionist. But it really comes down to you really like a skill or you're looking for ranks. So that's
Wait,
it for that.
I'm sorry, Shane. What does this say? E-peen?
Yeah.
What is
that? Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Please,
really,
please
I think.
Explain
Locking
that.
Locking in
to
your
me.
Point on the high scores. Earth, would you ever do that?
What is this E-peen?
Would you ever get 200 million in the skill?
Would you pay for it?
No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay for it, but I mean, if I did any, it would probably be like a gathering type thing or something really cheap. Because
yeah,
it's not really worth it for me.
I'd go for 200 mil farming XP.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just like assumed. That's a given.
I was wanting to do that with the prestige system, and I was thinking this week, maybe, just maybe, since we're bending so far backwards that we can see all the way back, that maybe we can bend so far backwards and put the prestige system to a vote once again.
Yeah. That failed, didn't it, obviously?
Yes.
Is that what it came down to? Yeah.
Anyways, plate in player-owned ports. I'll let you guys handle this one since you're further in than I am.
Yes, I just recently, as soon as the ports V2 came out, I had already unlocked all the people. So I have met all 9 adventurers. I've unlocked everything. Actually, as we speak, my last batch of ships is out. If they all pass, I should be in the next region. This weekend, at least. As we were talking before, the biologist and the whaler are your two main ones if you want to get plates. No, you cannot get plates from other adventurers, but you can get them as regular missions. And the most I've seen in those is just 5 plates, a regular mission, and it's usually 10k of each trait, so 10k 3 times. But yes, you cannot get them from any other besides the biologist and the whaler. So if you're looking for plate making tetsu, you're going to want to go for 90 herblore and 90 fishing. So that is it in that.
And I'm also going to throw in that you can build the mammoth head to increase your chance to pull the biologist in, and the whale skull to attack the whaler.
Yes, I would definitely do that. And I'm not sure. I'm sure we can find it really quick, though. There is another. It's the whaler, the biologist, and then there's one more in that trio. And I believe once you complete all 3 of their story missions, which I think there's 6 each. Once you complete that and you get the trio, you'll get 50 plates, but that only happens once, but that'll give you a nice chunk. I don't remember which what the other one is in that trio. I'm drawing a blank. It might be the thief. I'm not sure. Convict, whatever you call it. Don't quote me on that. But yes, I would definitely go with the whaler, which is 90 fishing, biologist, 90 herb lore, and then whatever the third trio of that is, if you want to maximize your plate in income. So.
All right. I did not know about those special voyages with the three of them. I thought it was only the two.
Yeah, I'm actually going to check that out right now. So you guys can look add that anything up if you
and throw it in the notes. That would be good. Alrighty. Thank you for that question, RR Man. Next one would be from Parnassius.
G'day all, Parnassius here, and my question for you this week is, what is your least favourite skill, and if Jagex asked you to develop something to make it better, what would you do? One of mine is agility. I'd love to see a minigame that is like a marathon that you could do either weekly or monthly, where you run from city to city around Gelenor and tag in at different checkpoints for XP. This would alleviate some of the grind of agility, as well as make us actually run to each city, rather than just teleporting everywhere. Love to hear what you guys would do for your least favourite skills. Happy gaming all.
Alright, who wants to go first?
Either of you two.
Earth.
Least favorite skill... gonna go with... I don't know if I can pick divination because I've trained that with only Tears of Guthix. Mining. And I don't know how I would improve that. I don't put thought into that. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, mining has already been...
Herblore cheaper. There we go.
You could do it by farming all your stuff.
Shh. Don't want your logic.
Okay.
Feed me by mouth. Anyway.
All right. As for me, I'm going to have to say dungeoneering. I don't really believe that's a skill anyways. It would have been much better as a self-contained minigame, kind of the same thing as player-owned ports, but on a group setting. So definitely dungeoneering for me. Granted, it is called a skill now, and you can't exactly remove a skill from the game. So my fix for dungeoneering would be two things. First things first, make a matchmaking system so you can just jump in and get paired with a group randomly from any world. And hopefully you'll all be around the same skill level and you won't want to kill each other by the end of it. The second thing I would do... Well, I mean, you need a matchmaking system to do it in some way, right? So let's say you don't have four other people you know. A matchmaking system is the second best way to go.
That's fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, that's my logic on that. But the second thing I would do with dungeoneering is I would make it trainable in more areas of the game. Because this thing came out in 2010, and we've still really only got the main dungeoneering place... the sinkholes that happen every so often during the day, and the resource dungeons. I would like to see dungeoneering to be useful somewhere else outside of the game, and with that, tie it into those other skills in those areas.
Right. Well, yeah, that's I completely forgot about that. They've always talked about, like, the next dungeoneering update, and, you know, truth be told... Where are our resource dungeons? I don't want to say up to 120, but, I mean, at least I think we need it up to 99, wouldn't you say? I mean, 85 is the most, and, I mean, I feel like a lot of people get to 85 that aren't going for 99 and basically quit because 80, you get your first chaotic, and then 85, you have all the resource dungeons. So, I mean, if you don't enjoy it or you're not going for 99, you know, there's real no motivation to keep going.
So. Yeah, I went from 76 to 85 dungeoneering on sinkholes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
You went I went from 76 to 85 dungeoneering on sinkholes.
Yeah, I need to do more dungeoneering.
I'll come with you.
You said you hated it and you wouldn't.
Well, I do, but compared to
Shane,
but compared to other things, it's doable.
Like what?
Getting beaten by grandmasters in StarCraft 2.
But you like League. You just don't make sense. Everyone, Shane is less logical than a woman. And I will leave it at that. Moving on.
Dave, anyway, least favorite.
Love you, Shane.
Yeah, in all honesty, I guess this sort of supports my point. But totally forgot about dungeoneering as a skill. Never crossed my mind. So that just goes to show that I don't think it's really a skill either. I will agree with everything Shane says, but just to keep it interesting and not have a cop-out, I guess I'd have to say fire making, but I think that's sort of everyone's. I mean, I don't want to say it's the least favorite, but I think it still deserves more improvement. Sure, we got bonfires, but let's do something besides lighting fires. And I know that's dumb. It's fire making, but I mean, I always thought it'd be cool to have like, you know, fireworks or some sort of. I really don't know, but I just feel like. You know, it
hey,
needs
combine
something.
Combine fire making and ranged and make rockets.
Rocket. I mean, like you know, you have the fire arrows, but sort of make something like more accessible, like with combat fire making. You know, I don't know, but I just think that fire making is still with bonfires. It's great, but you're still doing the same thing. You're just not having to click as much. So sort of broaden the horizons, like he said with agility. Sure, you got courses. And, you know, I feel like bonfires in respect to agility are just like the advanced courses. Like, you're getting more experience, but you're doing the same thing. You know, he wants to see different activities to train that skill. So I guess that's sort of where I'm coming from with fire making. But I do agree with what's been said so far. Aside from that, I do want to set this straight really quick because I got that completely wrong with ports. I don't know where I was. It is not the whaler. And the biologist. Whaler gives spices, and the biologist gives bones. What you want...
That's the joint mission.
Right. You want the convict, which is thieving, gives plates, and the missionary, which is prayer, gives plates. Now, once you finish their main story, which is six story missions, and then their last story mission, the convict and the missionary will... separately give you 25 plates. So you'll have 50 after you complete both of their story. And then you do want the biologist. She gives bones, but that's the trio mission that will give you 50 plates and 50 lacquer at the end. So basically you're going to want to aim for 90 thieving, 90 prayer, and 90 herb lore to maximize your plate income. So disregard everything I said before, and that's what you want to go with. So
I'm going for that.
Can't you get something... from the joint mission with the whaler and biologist, does that also get plate? So I swear I read that somewhere.
Joint mission meaning trio or the duos?
The duos, I guess.
Okay.
Because I've
the
been
biologist
training
and whalers.
Yeah.
Do you give
yes,
plate?
Yes, biologist and whaler do
okay,
give plates.
Okay, I haven't been wasting my time. Good.
Right. Yes, I'll link this whole page. That it's basically just a giant spreadsheet of information with all the stuff you get from every single person, how long it takes, distance, how much it requires. I'll link that show notes so you can see for yourself, but that's the gist of it. So whaler, biologist, like convict, and missionary are the people you want to focus on. So moving on.
Thank you. That is good because I am looking for the same stuff in my ports journeys at the moment.
Gotcha.
Excellent.
Yep.
Alrighty. Next question would be from GardenGal4. GardenGal4 here. I'm all set for getting my 1399s on Saturday. It will be at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, World 91 Varrock Museum. Hopefully those of you guys listening will be able to attend. After that, it's time to get ready for the Super Bowl. My question is, will you be watching it? Who will you be rooting for? I'll be rooting for the Broncos to beat the Seahawks as payback since they beat my 49ers. Thanks, Garden Gal 4. I don't do sports.
I guess I'll go first, since I haven't taken any first this time. Well, early congratulations on your 99s. That's awesome. Probably won't be able to attend just because my weekend does look pretty full at the moment. But either way, good job. Super Bowl. I do like sports. Football is probably one of my least favorites. Especially football from where I'm from. St. Louis, Rams are nothing special. I'm more into baseball and hockey, Cardinals and Blues. But, I mean, obviously I'm going to be watching it. Probably just going to have to say Seahawks because I'm just irritated with everyone's fanboyism with Peyton Manning. And it's just, I'm just like
hey,
him to be.
Let's name all of our children after him, right,
yeah.
Guys?
But yeah, Seahawks, Broncos, I just got a bad taste in my mouth because of the whole Tim Tebow thing, and that was obnoxious. But Peyton Manning, all of my friends are, you know, I feel like there's more Peyton Manning fans than Broncos fans. I don't have any sort of, like, grudge, oh, so-and-so beat my team, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'd just say Seahawks just because I want to see the underdog win, I guess, if you could consider them an underdog.
You know, one thing. Anyway. The people in the Seattle area did for the Seahawks is they took a Boeing 747 up around Washington
and
drew a 12 in the sky.
Oh wow!
Granted, it's invisible because
I don't get it.
Because you take it through the flight plan and you can't see the flight plan as the plane is flying. But that's one thing they did to support the team.
Gotcha.
I don't get it.
Well, you see a 12. I don't know what the 12 stands for.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
It's probably one of their. It's probably their quarterback.
Okay.
I think it is. Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
That is kind of cool. Yeah.
I will not
be
watching it, and
guy,
I am pretty neutral in this, so I honestly don't care. I can't
Seahawks.
Tell you who's on either team.
Seahawks.
Yeah.
Why's that?
I want to see the shitstorm if Peyton Manning loses.
That's basically the only reason I want. I just want to see everyone up in arms because it's nothing. You know, football is just like it's hardly
really
a sport anymore. It's like celebrityism. You know, all it is like the quarterback and his team. You know, and it's just like okay, there's 16 people and everyone cares about, and then you know, it's just not a big fan of football, but that's me.
Yeah, I don't actually give a shit. But I would love to see the storm. Peyton Manning loses.
Yeah.
Because I'm from the South, so.
Football!
What was that?
That is an imitation of someone I have actually heard.
Wow.
Let's go play football!
Oh, dear. Alrighty, let's move on to the next question, and I will endeavor to be there tomorrow for those 99s. The show should come out about 2 hours before that, I think. Yeah, 2 hours before that, the show will hopefully come out, so granted, many people listening to this probably won't hear it, but I will come and I'll make a RuneWire post about it. So.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
All right, why don't you guys read this last one?
I got it.
It's all me. Oh, this is the big one. Question from Magic. I have a question about the exponential rate at which levels are earned. Currently, I have level 82 agility. Based on experience, I'm about 20% of the way to level 99. According to the in-game interface, there are about 152 things that you can do using agility. At level 82, I can do 136 of those, or 89%. There's a mere 16 things that I cannot do. And those do include agility armor, ancient effigies, and skill mastery. And while those are all very important, does it make sense that there is so little left to earn with so much more of the skill that I need to train. Getting level 99 is a reward in itself, but it just seems like the spacing is poorly done. Obviously, this applies to other skills, too. What do you think? Thanks for the great show, Magic One. Or Magic One, I suppose.
You know, I honestly think that's a obvious problem, if you will, in RuneScape. I think it all goes back to smithing tables that still need to be reworked. You know, it is what it is. I mean, yes, it's a grinding game, but I do agree with you. It seems sort of off. I guess it also goes back to how we would make our skills better, like with agility. You know, have at least more options be available to train instead of just, you know, doing a better version of what you're already doing. Yeah, it's sort of disheartening when, you know, you're 82 or 85 and you're only 20% there. But I sort of think that is what makes RuneScape, because I've played plenty of MMOs. You know, I've played WoW, I've played the new Final Fantasy, I've played all kinds of different stuff. And, you know, I remember way back when, probably back in like 2007, there was an RSPNB update, and good old Brad, not Chief Snake, but the other Brad, was saying, you know, RuneScape is about the grind and getting to 99, as to where other MMOs are basically what you can do once you reach that. So, I mean, that's if they sort of switched that out and made more things available and like equally spaced everything out, I feel like not as many people would. I don't want to say grind, but it would just sort of, I don't know. It's a tough subject, but I just feel, you know, I just accept it because it's sort of what it is. But I would like to see more. But yeah, it's definitely not right, you know. But the way you've described it, but anyway,
it ain't right.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that I fit in the same school of thought. I mean, only recently have we started to see endgame things in RS, and they've primarily been combat related. Endgame being 90 plus, where you get the weapons and you really can be successful at those at 90 plus. I think we isn't at 99 is where we want to go, but it is closer to 99, if you get what I mean. So take a prime example here of the Wishing Well Bush at level 96 farming. That's one thing that comes out and people can play with if they want, as with all the other high-level goodies that come from farming. So that's what I see the benefit of 99 farming, is that you can do all these things unhindered. Same thing goes for Herblar. Extreme potions, overload potions. That is right. What the 99 is about. And, you know, you're right, agility does seem rather useless in that regard. And they did say that in 2014 there was supposed to be, I don't know if it's still on the radar, an agility update that would change the way agility works in this regard and improve the run system as well. So I think agility is something they want to fix, but right now it's not on the radar.
And, you know, I feel like the whole unbalanced reward tables for skills, you know, it's not all skills, because like Shane was saying, farming, you pretty much have a steady way up. Herblore, same way. The prayer sort of drops off at 95, but I mean, those are the best prayers, curses in the game. And, you know, with the whole way, I think the experience, the exponential rate, I think that's good. They don't need to do that. If they were to do anything, it would be to balance out when you can do, you know, different activities while you level. But you have to keep in mind, you can only space them out so much. You know, you can't get a reward halfway through 97. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, I guess they could implement a mechanic where, you know, at 10.5 million experience, you get this. But that would just sort of throw a wrench into things.
What's the point of levels?
Right. Yeah, what's the point of levels if it's going to be based on experience type of thing? But I do like, as much as I, you know, it hurts to, you know, you're doing agility or mining or something and you're, oh my gosh, I'm not there yet. I do think it's a very good model for leveling. But I really think there's only so much they can do with the rewards. And I think they're moving in that direction with the reworks. It just got to get it on the table sooner. So.
All right, Earth, you were going to say something, I think.
I don't remember what it was.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have anything on the subject of skills leveling up to 99?
99 farming wasn't enjoyable, and it cost a lot. But other than that, no.
Alrighty. Well, that's it for questions then this week. Thank you, everybody, for your submissions. And if you want to send audio questions in, we like those. It means we have to read less, and we could just listen to you. Saves our voices for answering. Just email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. And finally, if you have a phone and you have long distance and you live in the U.S., perhaps the easiest way to send us a question is to leave us a voicemail. Just send that voicemail to 571-572-2632, and Google Voice will pick up your call.
Hooray!
Okay, moving on to tech news. The U.S. Treasury confirms that Bitcoin miners and investigators won't be regulated.
Investors.
Oh, I'm sorry. Investors.
Investors.
I said investors. Or did I say investors?
You said investigators.
You said investigators.
Oh, okay.
And even I said investors.
And I thought I said investors the second time around.
Unit in StarCraft called Infestors that Shane just calls Investors. So I make
fun of
him
because OS 10 calls it that. Anyway,
it's Tim's fault.
I said OS 10, not Tim.
Oh, sorry. Past assumptions there. My bad, y'all.
All right. So through U.S. Treasury ruling. Those that collect bitcoins, either for investment purposes or mining them, won't be charged taxes, which I'm sure lots of people are happy about, right?
It's an interesting concept, but I think that's for either another show or a whole new segment or show by
well,
itself.
Well, I was asking because Earth actually mines
them. But... Oh, yeah.
Say what, Shane?
You actually mine them, don't you?
Yeah, I moved on to Litecoins because they're better, but that's good. I wasn't aware that I would have to pay taxes anyway, so I don't have to worry about that. So woo!
I would have been pushing for taxes if I was regulating this.
Yeah,
of course you would.
But I guess that's good for people. That do that. It lets the Bitcoin currency actually remain anonymous and keep it online for people who want to use it in that purpose. And if you have it for that reason, you don't need to declare it. So I guess that just makes you safer if you want to spend it, right?
Yeah, but I think you wouldn't have declared it anyway if you were using it for illegal purposes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But as we mentioned last week, one of the creators of Bitcoin was actually charged in a money laundering case with Bitcoin. So that is entirely possible with Bitcoin as
it's bound to happen with
other stuff, other currencies. So those miners out there just take pride in this, I guess, or be happy. Okay, next piece of tech news, changing gears a little bit. This time focusing to Yahoo Mail. I'm not sure if anyone here uses Yahoo Mail. I know Trekkie on the forums
yes.
does.
I do.
But basically, username and passwords obtained through a third party are being tested against Yahoo server. So I assume, Dave, then you got a notification about this from Yahoo that you should change your password.
Actually, I have not, but I haven't been religiously checking my email lately. I do have an account through work that goes through Yahoo, but I haven't got anything yet, but I'm sure that's soon to come. So,
yeah, apparently it was a list of username and passwords. And then they're using the third-party software to automate checking and then break into the accounts. Yahoo hasn't said how many accounts there were, but the thinking is that this came from a compromised third-party database and not Yahoo itself. So I'm guessing Yahoo will be contacting those who are affected. So I guess for anybody out there using Yahoo, just watch your email for a password change request on Yahoo's part.
Just stare at it.
Yep, it'll come in eventually.
Don't look away.
Okay.
I was just making fun of the way that you said that, Shane. Just
Yeah.
Take it literally.
Well, I mean, you need to do that when you're working with your passwords, right? Because if you're sending your passwords and you're getting a whole bunch of password change requests, or somebody else has your password and you're having, say, banking information going through your email, that could be bad.
That's bad news.
Bad news bears.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
And the final piece of tech news relates to Windows 8.1. Anyone here using this except me?
Nope. 7 all day.
Yep.
7 or bust.
Windows 3.1.
Moving to the modern
Windows
world.
2000.
I've
got the best one. You guys are still on 7 and 8. I'm on Windows 2000.
You are 1,992 ahead of us.
Yep. Get on my level.
So, essentially, the idea is that Microsoft might be changing the default behavior of Windows 8.1 in an upgrade that's coming down the pipe. It's kind of going to be similar to a service pack to Windows 8.1, but it's not being called a service pack. But what it's expected to do is make it so that the default Metro start screen that you have on a Windows phone or an Xbox is not the default view when you boot into Windows, and instead you'll boot straight to the desktop as you do in Windows 7.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with this. It's already an option by default to do this in Windows 8. So,
yeah.
I think at this point, the idea of the rift between 7 and 8 is gone. That disappeared with 8.1. So if you're getting a new computer and it's going to have 8.1 on it, I would not worry about it at all.
Yeah.
And not to mention that Windows 8.1 offers many niceties in the underpinnings of the OS. And I mean, little things like Task Manager, better handling of processes, Windows Explorer, that sort of thing. So there are lots of refinements in 8 and 8.1 that people can be happy about, even if they're not using the Metro system.
I still like Windows 7.
Well, you guys have until, I think, 2017 to get rid of that.
It's plenty of time.
I think that's when it stops getting support.
I think by then I'll start to understand how people still using XP feel.
Because, Windows XP is getting cut off on April 8th.
Is it really? Oh, wow.
Yep. Windows XP will no longer get support as of April 8th, which is one of the patch Tuesdays. Granted, it's not April 1st, which, I don't think Microsoft would want to do.
Well, that would have been great.
Oh, let's see. End of mainstream support is January 13th, 2015 for Windows 7.
2015?
Oh, yep. Wow.
Are you shitting me?
When is Vista out then? Like June?
Vista is out on April 10th, 2012 for mainstream support.
No.
Extended support.
It's already out?
Extended
support. No, Shane, you're making this up.
He said mainstream support for 7, but extended is 2017, right?
Extended for 7 is 2020. That's when you get security updates. That's extended support.
I think we're good.
Mainstream support is OS updates and improvements to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have until 2020.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be fine.
I just looked at my watch. That's another 6 years.
You just looked at your watch.
Yeah, to try and figure out how long that would be.
Yeah, I'll be.
You know what year it is, Shane?
It's 2014.
Does your watch even have the year on it?
It does not. That's why it's funny.
Wait, you made a joke?
No, not intentionally.
We need to mark this day, Dave. Yeah. It's a momentous day. Shane made a joke.
Alrighty, well, that's it for tech news, everyone. We're going to move on to some other things right now. First and foremost, the skill of the month. Right now, currently, you know, it's the end of the month, and JamAndy52 pretty much has this one in the bag, the attack skill of the month, with 2.7 million experience gained, second place being Parnassius with 800,000, and third place One Stone Pwn with 700,000 experience.
How much does Jim Andy have?
2.7 million.
Damn.
But that's not going to be a concern, because tomorrow the woodcutting skill of the month starts.
Oh, man. Could get that in a day.
You could. With bonus XP and ivy and crystal trees and everything. It's definitely possible.
What about crystal meth?
No.
That's next year's update.
Oh, okay. That's the herb lore update, right?
Exactly.
And that's the perfect! Alright, going back to that question, add illegal drugs.
Right. That'll be a poll every
10 levels. Yeah, it'll be a
You're
poll.
You're right, that would be poll, then it would pass overwhelmingly.
Which ones get added first, and what effects they have. Exactly.
Crystal meth make you attack twice as fast. That'd be good.
But you also have half as many hit points. What would we do? And make you feel good? I guess it'd give you more hit points, but your defense would go down.
You would have to eat food in order to, or otherwise it's a constant drain, but you would have to like keep eating to keep it up.
You get really hungry.
Yeah. So it becomes as soon as you do that, you have like a hunger bar on top of your
it becomes
your
Minecraft.
Right.
What about cocaine?
Oh, gosh. Why are we putting so much thought into this? That's crazy.
No. Yeah, I have to answer that question.
Yeah, it'd probably be the same as...
I did not give a satisfactory answer.
What other drugs are there?
Shane, you're from the ghetto. You tell us.
I don't know. I mean, we're with two of the people who are not going to touch drugs like this. And yet, you guys seem to know all about them.
Well, from where I'm from, it's kind of hard not to know about them, just with
Shane,
the demographic. I mean, I'm from St. Louis, and he's like near Atlanta-ish. So
yeah.
I mean, we're in the top five worst crime cities. We got Detroit, St. Louis, Atlanta. There's a couple more that are like the worst like crime-ridden U.S. cities. So
yeah, a couple of hours from where I live is like one of the meth capitals of the world.
St. Louis has actually gotten really bad with heroin lately. Like, that's, I guess,
heroin. That's another one. What did that one do?
That just, I don't know. You'd probably just automatic log out.
Oh, boy.
Just instant death.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
Enough of the negative drugs. Moving on. We do have a new Informer article out today from our newest writer, and that would be from Tanis Half-Elf. It is his first article with us at Informer, so I invite everybody to have a read through it. Basically, what he does is he goes through how RuneScape has become a grown-up game, and what that means to him. So if you're interested in reading that, you should definitely have a look. And even if you're not interested in that topic, it provides some very good insights as to where the game currently has gone and where it's going to go in the future.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. I believe you have a pick for us, Dave.
Yes, I do. I'm sure if most of you guys are in the PC gaming community, you've heard of a game called Star Citizen. It is a Kickstarter project that started, I guess it was about a year or so ago. Basically what it is, it's going to be an open world sci-fi MMO. It looks really cool, real time. I've actually have invested a lot of time in playing EVE Online recently, the past couple years. Very expansive and huge learning curve. A lot of people call it a learning cliff. But basically, this is going to be sort of more accessible. It's going to be real time as opposed to, you know, EVE is more of, you know, you are your spaceship. You know, you can't really get out of it much.
Is that the one with the economy that's yes. crazy?
Yes.
Okay.
EVE is very almost disconnected in a way. I mean, it's all like time, and people call it a spreadsheet simulator. but the Star Citizen, there's like dogfighting. You can actually get out and play your actual character, sort of like Mass Effect. I don't know if they're going to have like guns and weapons in that matter, but it's going to be a lot of ship combat, flying, all one shard, meaning one server, single player mode, stuff like that. Anyway. It is a Kickstarter project, so I would go check it out. It's robertspaceindustries.com. You can just Google Star Citizen, go to their website, and you can pledge anywhere from like $30 to upwards of $500. And basically what that is you get like beta access, some cool little exclusives, but you also get you're pre-purchasing like a ship in-game. So when the game comes out, you have your first ship. It's like a limited edition or, you know, whatever. But all the money you spend for that goes towards proceeds of developing the game. And they sort of have milestones. You know, once we reach X amount of money, we'll put in this feature. Once we get this amount of money, we'll put in this feature. And I think it's almost raised over $32 or $37 million already. And it's wow. It's actually made history as being the largest crowdfunded game in video games, honestly. So I thought it was really cool. I dig that sort of genre, the whole sci-fi. I'm really into that sort of thing. I do
you
like
should
Eve,
try Star
but
Trek
I think this
Online.
Is gonna. I should. Maybe one day. Maybe when Windows 7 is unsupported, I'll have to get Windows 8 and I'll try Star Trek Online, right?
Yeah.
No. Anyway, yeah, it's really cool, and I would encourage to go, and if you like it, pledge. The way I see it, I spent like $60 on one of the ships. It's basically just like buying the game, but it's going towards making the game better, so you can't really lose. So I think
so
it's cool.
So is it going to be free when it's released?
No, you will have to pay for it, but basically once you do the pledge thing, you're basically getting the game, so... Essentially,
so
you could.
Is it like WoW where you have to buy the game and then you pay for a monthly subscription?
See, I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of FAQ and forums on the website you'd have to go and check out. But I don't know if there's a subscription or not. But I mean, the way I see it, like I said, you know, you're going to buy it anyway. But I mean, worst comes to worst, or if you don't want to spend that much money, but you do want to play it, you could just drop, you know, $30 or whatever the smallest amount you can is, and you know, you're basically getting the game for cheaper than what it'll be released as. So I think it's cool. I'd check it out. So I'm definitely going to be playing. So
what does it mean when these ships come with hull insurance?
Well, basically what it is, I can tell you what it is on Eve. Basically you insure your ship for half of its value, and when it gets destroyed, it'll be replaced. So it's nice if you have like a really expensive ship or something, you know, fitted with all this stuff. So basically, say a ship is worth $65 million. You would okay, I'm not gonna do 60, I'm gonna do 60 since it's around. $60 million, you insure it for $30 million, and then you know, so you're basically paying $90 million for a ship, but if it gets destroyed, it's replaced when you die, type of thing. So I guess it would
and it's
sort
free.
Right. Yes, if you insure it.
You have to pay that 30 mil every time you get a ship, or?
Every ship you want to insure, yes. You don't insure a ship once and then keep getting free ones. If you, say you buy a ship, you insure it for half the cost, and then when it's destroyed, it's replaced. No cost, besides the half cost.
But do you have to do that again?
If, yes. If, okay. If you die with that ship and it gets replaced, then you would have to insure the ship that you just got as a replacement. Yes, it doesn't
still
snowball. Still
having to pay the whole thing again.
Right.
So that's cool.
So that's that's what it is on Eve, and I'm assuming it's the same mechanic in Star Citizen. Because
because the same month.
I don't know. Maybe there's a time limit. Like I said, I don't. There's so much that I don't know about just because it's so expansive and huge. But if you're interested, there's definitely lots of literature and videos and all that stuff. So
yeah, this M50 ship looks interesting. Yes?
Did you say so?
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the pick. Oh, it runs on Origin, I see.
Oh, yes. Speaking of running on, just for all you graphics gurus and computer tech spec guys, it is running on CryEngine 3, so it probably will not disappoint performance-wise. Basically saying there's nothing in stone right now, but minimum performance requirements graphics-wise is probably going to be NVIDIA GTX like 680 Realm 760 somewhere around there. So it's definitely going to be a high-end game and testing the limits of what PCs can do. So, and you know, they were saying all these reviews, this is going to probably be the next game that you build your computer to play. Last one being like Battlefield 3, Crysis, Battlefield 3 and such. So yeah, I think this will probably end up being the next benchmark of later this year or early 2015. So anyway.
All right. So what have we been up to in RuneScape this week? Let's start with Earth.
Beating Brian and putting him back in his place, and fishing.
Okay.
And that's it. And ports, of course, but I'm always doing that.
Get me back to port.
Where'd you go?
I don't know. So he passed you in total level, and then you beat him and proceeded to pass
him down.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Can't let them have too much, or they'll take the neighborhood over, right, guys?
Oh gosh.
And you, Dave.
Well, as always, working towards max. That's not going to go away. I always do ports twice a day. Keeping up with that, like I said, probably going to be in the next region this weekend or early next week. I'm hoping this weekend. 2.3 mil miles traveled to be the next region. I'm at like 2.26. So anyway, doing that. I've recently been doing taking advantage of the Big Chinchampa D&D. I maxed out on tickets actually a couple days ago, so I can't really do that until I use them. Doing that, aside from Citadel training and capping, really not much. Just sort of doing my dailies. I've been doing farming runs, trying to get to 91. Once I get to 91, I'm going to cruise with Felstocks, make some money, decent experience, all the way to 99 probably. Just doing the little stuff, I guess, just to work towards max. Divination here and there, using up my Hattie and Skull combat, mage and divination, agility. Just sort of little piddle stuff here and there till I commit to a skill to get to 99. So basically just working towards max.
Which one are you thinking is next?
Well, mage is at 95. Strength is at 95. Both I could probably get easily in like 2 weeks. Prayers at 95. That's expensive. Herb lore's at 93. Also fairly expensive.
A little bit.
Just a bit. Those are probably the main ones that I could probably get pretty quickly. Woodcutting's at 90. but I would say probably major strength I can probably knock out in about a week. So realistically speaking, probably one of those. But yeah. Okay.
That's cool.
All right. Sounds good. As for me, I've just been doing the Glacers as, you know, you normally do when you're high-level combat and you're looking to make some money. I actually did cash in on a set of the melee-type boots, which netted me 19 million in GP. That happened on Sunday, so that was nice. And with that, I was able
to... one pair?
Yes, just one.
Steadfast, yeah.
And I was able to acquire my Drygore base.
Goodbye. My real-life friend has a pair of those, and oh my gosh, it's like cutting hot knife through butter. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm only 8 million off from the offhand at the moment, so that's going to be the next thing to get. But aside from that, I've been looking for a way to make water talismans because I have a huge supply of blue charms, and I need those in order to level up my summoning to 95 and then 96. So that is
water fiends.
That's for crimson charms.
No. To get
For water talismans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glaciers can give between 3 and 5 at a time. Noted.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never.
So
been
that's
there,
really
so.
The best place to get them, considering they go for around 12k on the exchange, and will probably go up with the double XP weekend coming.
Ooh, a single water talisman is 12k.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was kind of rough.
12.7k for a single water talisman.
What?
Geyser Titans.
Shit.
Yep.
I mean, the ultimate option is Rune Minotaurs for slightly less XP and Rune Bar, but
it's cost just as much.
Spending a pretty penny there, yeah.
If I remember how much those bars cost, anyway. They're still hovering around 10k each?
I believe so.
13.5.
Wow, that hasn't changed.
Ooh,
yep.
Wow.
But, you know, that could always be a side project, you know? Going to get mining up and mine rune ore.
Right. Wait,
so,
for who?
I have
for
access
anybody,
to
or...
a resource dungeon. Hmm?
You mean, like, for anybody, or were you referring to one of us?
No, for me. For me.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Gonna definitely be interesting to see what happens with combat prices, because Drygore's really, really took a drop. I think people are hoping that the DDS and Dragon Claws will have their old special back, and you'll be
so
able to be as powerful.
So how much have you lost on that one that you bought the other day already?
Oh, let's not talk about that.
No, I want to know. I want to know.
Oh, gosh.
Let the poor guy have some fun.
11 million.
Yikes.
Hey, Shane, that's more than I'm worth.
No, it's not.
In cash?
11 million? Oh, okay.
I have like 6 million cash, Shane.
Well, I'll help you out after I get my offhand.
Free stuff, Plux.
Indeed. Anyways, I think that's it for this week's RSBNB update, unless you guys have anything else you want to mention.
I think that about covers it.
I don't know. I'm liking that drug idea that I had.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
They'll have to make it like rune weed or something, though.
Jeez. little too much thought into that, yeah.
Could never be too much thought. Rune.
Well, then RuneScape would only be legal to play in Colorado and Washington.
Right.
What?
Because marijuana is only legal in Colorado and Washington.
No! Shane, where did you get that idea from?
Oh, okay. I thought that's the direction you were heading.
There's blatantly no connection. It doesn't give you the munchies or anything.
You said
it's not related at all.
You said
did
it.
Did I? Yep. Dave said that. Wasn't me.
Either way.
Alrighty, everybody. Thank you for listening. Oh, well. And we'll see you next week. And remember to play the combat beta, because if you don't, well, you can't complain.
Shane will get you.
Yeah. Can't complain if you don't partake. So, anyway, we'll see you guys later.
Bye, everyone.